This is the Lembit Opik Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Lembit Opik Show for the final hour today. It's gone fast. I hope you've been enjoying it. Coming up in a short while, Chris Thrall. I certainly wouldn't want to get into a fight with him. He is very experienced in war and peace and has more than a little experience about where I was brought up, born and bred, which was mentioned earlier on in the show, Northern Ireland. So we'll talk about that as well. Do keep your calls and comments coming. I'm just looking down. You've been very busy having a lot of chat. Let me read some of these. They're not all connected. If you really want to understand the dialogue, you need to go to tntradio.live and follow the chat there. I always say that's the best way to get the most out of the show. So some comments here before we go to Chris. Hermetica says, we were talking, by the way, about the English Constitution Party in the previous section with Graham Moore from the English Constitution Party. Very, very interesting dialogue there. A few comments there about this. English through and through, says June English. Well, I'm not sure if June English is your surname, but there's certainly a clue in the name that you use in the chat. Hermetica says, what I don't understand is that if reform want proportional representation, then why don't we all vote for and promote reform just to get PR? Then we can vote for whoever we want. Rome wasn't built in a day, and nor was England. Step by step, there will never be a perfect party. We just need the first step. Good logic, Hermetica. But then if everybody who didn't vote voted the same way, they'd always get the government of their choice as well, because that would be about 30%. And if you added that to most parties, they would get a very good result. Lord Melbury says Fabians and the London School of Economics are joined at their hip. The Fabian Society created the London School of Economics. Just to be clear, I've never been involved in the Fabians. There was a suggestion that the Fabians ran my old party, the Liberal Democrats. Maybe they did, but then I was an outsider because they never approached me. The English, Just a Bloke says, if the English Constitution Party stands a candidate in my constituency, that's my vote sorted. Just a Bloke. Well, you heard it first here. Sesmo says the Reform Party do not support the English or England. Nigel Farage betrayed the English people, says Sesmo. If you explain how you feel that's happened, then I'll try and read that. I've got time later. Lord Melbury says, thank you, Graham. Stay safe. I don't think Graham's intention is to stay safe. I think he's treading the path less traveled in politics, but hopefully it doesn't put him into physical harm. Holly supporting Graham as well. A lot of dialogue there just about what we heard from the English Constitution Party. There never were parties. They were individuals. This is why we are in this mess, because people do it for the party and not for the people. Yeah, that's true, June English. One of the things I didn't like about party politics was the parties ended up serving the people in the parties and serving themselves. And there were times when I felt that the party in opposition in the United Kingdom wanted the party in government to fail, wanted the country to fail so that they could get into power. And that's not really what people should be going into politics for, in my view. Hemingway's talking about the music. So it's like Breaking Bad music. Is good, no? Well, that's great. I have to say, I love the Breaking Bad series. I thought it was truly original and set Bryan Cranston on a very successful acting path. He'd already been successful before then, but it really put it in the middle. Lots of musical comments. It seems you finally liked the song. I can't take the credit for that, but I'm glad you liked something we played. That's great. And Just a Bloke adds, all goodie, thanks, Lisa. Save the weather, of course. And that makes me remember there were quite a lot of comments about the weather and climate earlier on. Just to explain, climate and weather are different. Weather is what happens every day. Climate is what happens over a long period of time. So weather changes from day to day. Climate changes over time. Well, climate changes, but you can only tell if it's changing over time. The point I've been making all of April is that we're getting freezing conditions almost every day in parts of the UK. There was some foolish pseudo-academic, in my view, who claimed that our children wouldn't know what snow is. He said that about 20 years ago. I think if you're in Scotland, you know what snow is. In fact, it's only in the southeast of England, I think, we haven't had very much snow. My prediction is it's going to get colder, and that's because of something the sun's doing called a grand solar minimum, but that's for another time. A couple more. Madrid says, when Graham said, right, I do not consent on the voting slip, he said something else, did he? Okay, I don't know. I'm sorry. You'll have to re-listen to it, and you can re-listen to the show, Madrid, so I can't answer that. But just listen again, and then you'll find out. And good to see Johnny Dollars with us as well now. And Ray Edmonds cryptically says, Ashby versus White 1703, probably a historical mention to some legal precedent. And just one more. Oh, Hermetica didn't like the music. All right, well, you can't please everybody. And then, that might have been a point about I do not consent, that Ray Edmonds says. And it's on the website, says Holly, about Ashby versus White. I actually learn more than you learn probably some of the time when I read all that out. If you want to get involved in the chat and see the whole story, go to tntradio.live and you'll find the chat there. Get involved in the chat too. If I get time, I'll read out your comments. Also, there are phone numbers there if you want to call in. You've only got 50 minutes to do it, though, because time goes very fast here. Coming up next, though, I don't want to detain us any further from our next guest. Our next guest, I'll introduce him in just a minute here on the Len Bartobic Show on TNT.
Without CO2, the world stops breathing. CO2 sustains all life on Earth. Government, the WEF, and the elite believe humans are the carbon they really want to be rid of. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Len Bartobic Show here in the final hour today on today's News Talk TNT. This final hour is going to be an absolute cracker. I'm with Chris Thrall. Chris, thanks for joining me on today's News Talk TNT.
You're absolutely welcome, Lembit. Thank you.
I can see that you've got the whole world behind you. It's a pretty dramatic picture, very much like it. But then you have walked on the global stage as a man of peace and a man of war. Tell us about your background.
Oh, gosh, how long have you got? We've only got
48 minutes. We've got 48 minutes.
Oh, gosh. So very briefly, as a young man, I served in the Royal Marines Commandos. I had your typical challenging childhood, Lembit, you could say. And a mate of mine, his dad was a Falklands veteran, and he'd just joined the Royal Marines. And he said to me, it was tough, Chris, you know, it was the toughest thing that I've ever had to do. And you couldn't do it. So I said to him, yes, I can. And I went down the recruiting office and I signed on the dotted line for Queen and Country, although it was never for those reasons. I don't think it for any of us Marines, it really was. And that was it. The next thing, I was a serving commando. My first duty was the Northern Ireland conflict, as you mentioned. Beyond words.
The things I want to cover is, as much as you're willing to share it, you don't have to share individual experiences, but the learning you've got by being in the front line in that situation, who knows, we statistically speaking, probably were within a mile of each other at some point, because Northern Ireland's not that big, and I spent 20 years there. But also later on, I want to talk about your charity work, which is quite a different process, probably equally physically demanding, but probably less dangerous. You have been in the Green Berets, and I know that these are the elite fighting groups. You have to be pretty tough to get through that. What was the training like to become a Green Beret and be in the commandos?
Well, they quote it as the toughest military infantry training on the planet. It certainly felt like it, Lembit. It's 8 months. You study at Limpston Commando. Like I say, you know, a lot of us, I can't speak for everybody, but I would imagine a lot of us were quite dispossessed young men looking to prove ourselves, which I think we certainly did. I think the bigger question to be asked is, when you take me here today, the idea of killing someone is just utterly abhorrent, goes against every what can I say? Every sort of protocol of being an enlightened spiritual individual, and that therein lies the problem. So you're taking disenfranchised young people, you're putting them in a theatre of war, essentially, where they believe, in order to quote unquote prove themselves, their job is to take other life. Obviously, it's done under the guise of security, you know, protecting your homeland, etc., etc. But as we've seen from the last 20 years, the question really is, are you fighting for the military-industrial complex? And if so, who controls that? Who profits from it? Who supports our soldiers when they come back from war or they finish their military career? Myself, I finished my military career, and all the unresolved childhood trauma that I'd experienced was still there. So I fell on my, excuse my French, I fell on my ass in spectacular style, ended up chronically mentally unwell, chronically addicted to substances, had to then, I mean, in my case, work it all out for myself. And then finally, a charity helped me get back on my feet. So there you go. Yeah. So our, what people like to refer to as heroes, which is nothing we'd ever refer to ourselves in the forces as, you got to go cap in hand to a charity to, you know, to get back at life.
So in terms of that, after the break, I want to talk about really your experiences in Northern Ireland, and also then about your charity work. Just in terms of what you've said, do you think that you fell down as an individual because of the person you were before you went into the army, or was it anything to do with the training itself?
Oh, what a brilliant question. I would say the primary, because of the damage I'd experienced as a child, which was unhealed, unresolved. I'd never had to think about it. I had a 7-year career in the Marines. Very proud, Lembit, to be a Royal Marines Commando, and I always will be. The proudest moment of my life wasn't getting my green beret. It wasn't watching my son being born, although, you know, that's always obviously going to be very, very special to me. It was the moment when they said I'd been accepted into the Royal Marines, and I passed this very tough 3-day course that we have to do. And I'd done it. I defied parents that told me I was a failure, being homeless. I was homeless for the first time, I think, at 15, then again at 17. That doesn't include later on when I was homeless on the streets of Hong Kong. And the services provide a home for you. And in the Royal Marines, it's the best home. You're amongst some of the most wonderful people on the planet, some of the most brilliant brothers. It doesn't get over the fact that you've got that childhood trauma within you. And when you see a lot of our servicemen falling down when they enter what we call civvy street, so civilian life, it's never factored in. People want to think that PTSD is this thing that war heroes get when they go off to war and they come back and they've seen all this trauma, da da da. But for the most part, or it's certainly in my experience of all the charity work I've done and being a, you know, doing a lot of work in the veterans community, it's not. It's the fact that we were, you know, we were damaged youngsters, and nobody ever addressed that.
It sounds to me, we'll talk about your podcast and what you've done after the break, but it sounds to me, from what you're saying, being in the military really put your issues on hold rather than caused the issues. This is a strange analogy, Chris, but when I was in Parliament, what I noticed was that people weren't maturing emotionally. people didn't grow up when they were in Parliament. And I think that was because they were in a very intense institution where you didn't need to. You could stay as mature as you were when you went in, because a lot of things were done for you. A lot of the grown-up stuff was done for you. And maybe the same happened there. I felt comfortable in that institution, but I know I've matured far more in the 14 years I haven't been in politics than or in Parliament than the 13 years I was. How do you feel? Does that relate at all for you?
I think you're hitting the nail on the head, Lambert. I think, you know, when you're in a job where you get paid 24/7 in sickness and in health, all you've got to do is say, yes, sir, even when you don't really mean it. You're not dealing with your trauma. And when you come out the forces, you suddenly enter a world where there's a very different set of rules. There's a different set of loyalties. You have to pay things like bills and there's no one there to help you do it. And one of the things while I was in, I don't know how it is now, but we drank heavily. That was what we did. We were, you know, we drank when we were happy. We drank when we were sad. We drank at funerals of our buddies. And once you get outside and things start going wrong and you start that self-medicating procedure, as we all know, you know, you enter the spiral of addiction, which only ever goes downwards.
Let's talk about that after the break. That's an interesting thing I didn't expect to talk about, but I think it's very interesting if we want to spend a few minutes on that. And I want to talk about your podcast, because you have 85,000 followers, and that's quite an achievement. I'm talking with Chris Thrall, theoretically, about the military and about charity. It looks like we're going to go a lot deeper than that, so stay with me here on the Lambert Topic Show on today's News Talk TNT.
TNT's Chris Smith.
There should be a maintenance of free speech, and we shouldn't have to risk free speech because we are unable to handle someone's criticism or can't handle someone else's news story that happens to be violent. We've long since been desensitized by this stuff. Now, whether that's a good thing, I'm not saying whether it's a good thing. Whether it's a bad thing, I'm not saying that either. It's what we have been used to. But in countries like Australia right now, they are pulling certain news pieces, footage that we would normally see, they're pulling that footage from social media, or they'll fine the social media platforms $785,000 a day.
Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Today's News Talk Radio.
Now we're talking! Down.
TNT.
Welcome back to the Lambert Topic Show here on today's News Talk. You've still got 35 minutes to put your comments in. I'll come back to them in a short while. I'm with Chris Thrall, who is a hugely qualified man of the military, who took a tumble after leaving. We've just got into a very interesting subject. And then after this, I want to talk about his podcast. Chris, we were talking about addiction, and I find the question of addiction interesting. Two reasons. Number one, I think that we completely mishandle it. We think that by making certain substances illegal, we reduce the likelihood of people being addicted. It's the stupidest misunderstanding of human nature in British politics. And the second reason is because I think that there are many opportunities for us to displace our problems into addiction. How did you, I'm less concerned about how you got into the addiction and what it was, but how did you get out of it? Because that takes great self-discipline.
So I self-medicated, Lambert, to the point where my life was absolute shambles. I'd been chronically mentally ill to the point where the medical community told my family that I should basically be institutionalized, and that they shouldn't ever expect me to be released from that environment. And I continue to self-medicate. You know, when you're in the throes of addiction, you can't see what's happening to you. You can't see how incrementally you go down and down and down. Mm. And eventually I got to a point where I was so low, so lonely. I was literally freezing cold, starving, hungry. I wouldn't eat for days at a time because all my money went on trying to maintain this high, trying to maintain this false level of happiness. And at my lowest point, I can only describe it as a moment of epiphany. And I look back to that little boy I was that experienced stuff that no children should really go through. And I thought, it's easy to blame other people, isn't it? It's easy to blame, you know, school teachers and or your parents or But who was doing that to me now? It was me. I was punishing myself. I'd put myself in this place. And in that moment, I made some promises. I promised I'm going to stop playing the victim, that I'm going to stop letting life do to me, and I'm going to start doing to life. And I made another promise. I look back at all my oppos, as we call them in the Marines, that were dead now. They died, in some of them, in horrendous circumstances, very young. And I thought, what would they give to be here now? You know, and they don't have that choice, but I do. So I thought, Lembit, do you know what? When I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm no longer the victim, and I'm no longer going to stop not appreciating life. I'm going to be grateful for this opportunity. And that was it. Don't play the victim and be grateful. And when I woke up the next morning, life was different, and it's always been different ever since then. I literally had the light come into my life, and I knew it. I didn't have to prove myself to no one. I didn't have to be like anyone. I didn't have to drive fast cars anymore, or all this crazy stuff I had in my head. I just had to be me. And I just had to make each day my day, in my way, whatever. If that meant sitting on the grass, smiling at the sun, then I was a lucky, lucky person. And you asked about the map behind me. I had this 1970s globe that I bought in a car boot sale, and I spun it around. I thought, right, what am I going to do? I thought, right, I'm going to do every single thing I ever want to do. And I marked out 85 countries across all seven continents. I wrote down every dream that I ever had, and then I went out and I smashed it. I traveled, like I say, 85 countries, all seven continents. I backpacked through every single country in North, Central, South America. The first thing I did is I went and taught street kids in post-war Mozambique as a thank you for life, and a thank you for the very few people that had stood by me and that had supported me. I then drove volunteer journalists to India and back on an old British laden school bus, so we could write articles about people living in poverty and what it's like if you don't live the stereotypical materialistic Western lifestyle where everything's taken care of. I became a pilot. I took my pilot's license, qualified as a skydiver, dived on a barrier reef. I wrote 6 books. One of them was a international bestseller. Started a podcast, as you say, the Bought the T-Shirt podcast, which has proved pretty popular. I ran the length of the United Kingdom pretty much nonstop, bar sleeping at the side of the road, carrying all my equipment so I could raise awareness of the veterans' issues that we face, such as this awful mental health and suicide crisis that we're in. I did a quadruple Ironman with, I think it was eight weeks training. I ran across the Sahara Desert last summer in the Marathon des Sables in 52 degrees heat. I'm now going to row across the Atlantic in December. Again, I just want to show people out there that, you know, so many of us battle this trauma. So many of us get held back by it. But just making these couple of tweaks in your head that you're not going to play the victim and that you're going to learn to appreciate life, it changes everything. It changes the energy that you put out. And then life's energy meets you at that level. Then you pitch yourself higher. Then life's energy meets you at that level. And eventually you get to a place where every day you wake up in paradise.
Is that where you are now?
Absolutely. Can't go back. Got no choice. I'm stuck here.
You're an inspirational speaker. Do you speak to groups still?
Well, I'll be honest, the podcast really saps a lot of your time and resources, and I try to speak through my show now, really. I've got some great followers. We have a private Zoom chat every month for those people that support me in any way financially, and the feedback I get is incredible, particularly through the last 3 years of not what we call it the nonsense, where people lost their livelihoods, families were split up, separated, people died lonely deaths on their own. Lembit, I've had wonderful emails from people just say, Chris, your podcast got us through, you know, got us through all that. And yes, that's what we're here. We're here to be in service now.
When you say we're here to be in service, you imply I find what you're saying inspirational. I actually find it uplifting. And I actually feel ashamed of some of the things I complain about in my life. When you think about the things that you've dealt with, question is for you, there's an inference that you have a spiritual dimension to your epiphany. Is it a humanist change of direction, or do you feel that there's a spiritual dimension to this?
Yes. So as the wonderful Nikola Tesla once said, if you want the answers for life, you've got to think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And one thing life is very good at, whether we don't have to get into who the controllers are unless you want to, but they're very good at keeping people in their lower dimensional being, in anger, upset, greed, want, envy, lust, etc., etc., etc. And a lot of people wake up to this, but the challenge there is you wake up and you leave what we call third dimension, and you become a fourth dimensional being. So you can see that there's wrong in the world. You can see that locking people in their houses for 2 years is you know, probably not in people's best interest, but they don't know how to progress from that. And the way that you progress from that is by understanding that you've got to stop living in the material world and realize that there is a spiritual dimension. I don't know. I never thought as an ex-Marine I'd be sort of speaking in these terms, but we are the universe, you know. We are the universe, and life is very good at hiding your divinity from you and piling on all these pressures and these struggles that keep you suppressed. And I guess there at my lowest moment, that was my breakthrough, wasn't it? You know, that was my breakthrough, that I'm not going to let human relations and human constructs and human power dimension, power struggle keep me from being all I can be, which is universe. And
I didn't expect to say this either in my discussion with you, but it seems relevant. In a film called Jacob's Ladder, the main character, Jacob, is told by one of his mentors or advisors that I'm paraphrasing a bit, but if you fight things, then it feels like there are demons attacking you all the time, tearing at your soul. But if you let go, then you realize they're really angels helping you to the next stage. Is it possible that the reason it works the way you described, Chris, is because it's only when we've lost everything, or we perceive that we've lost everything, that we're truly free?
Gosh, let me just think.
Just while you're thinking, the reason I say that is because my personal opinion is that the cosmos doesn't set out to deceive us, but it does set out to distract us. And it provides us with opportunities to be distracted so that the answers are all there. But there is so much noise around us that the truths which speak quietly are obscured by the noise. And it might be, I'm not saying I have got some great wisdom here. I'm not saying that I've got evidence, but it's a thought. And your story makes me feel that somebody with your great capabilities and your great insights was distracted by things that had occurred around you what may have seemed like a poor start in life to begin with. But in reality, all of that was building up to taking you to a point where you could reset, and where suddenly the noises became quiet and you could hear the true resonances of the cosmos. And that's where you found your paradise.
My gosh, you should be hosting my podcast, Lembit.
I'm happy to come on to your podcast sometime if you'd like.
Oh, that would be a wonderful chat. Yes. Yes, I'm conscious I don't want to lose people here, but I was living in the material realm. I thought that if I could buy a faster car, and I drove a bloody almost brand new BMW at 23 years old, I was a full-time Royal Marines commando, earning a pretty decent salary as we did. But I was also had a business that turned over $100,000 a month. I had a mobile phone when people used to say, what's that? It's a phone. Is it? and I thought that was going to make me be me. But of course it never stops, does it? You get to that stage, then you want a faster car and you want a flashier phone and you want more money in your business. And yes, it took a good kick in the teeth, which I fully appreciate, to knock some sense into me. And here's the thing. There's no such thing as bad experiences. Although, obviously, there's unpleasant experiences. But what I mean is, if you have an easy life, if everything's laid on for you, if you never need for anything, want for anything, have to try it, where's the learning in that? Where do you learn? There's nothing, you know, I've had to learn through hardship that all that stuff that the aforementioned stuff, it doesn't work. And what does work is tuning into yourself, tuning into the universe, raising your vibration. So, and to offer some practical assistance to people that are listening, it's very, very simple. You create what's called a hermetic seal, which comes from a chap called Hermes Trismegistus, which is ancient folklore, goes back to Babylon, the Babylonian mystery schools and this kind of thing. But it's essentially saying that if you live a frugal life, if you eat a simple diet, not overloaded with refined carbohydrates, which toxify your system, they make you acidic, they block your body crystal from connecting with the bigger picture. If you exercise as our ancestors had to do, you know, we had to run around the forest. That's your breathing. This is why breathing techniques is suddenly so popular. If you get wet and cold occasionally, which is why crazy people like me, we throw ourselves in a plunge pool at every opportunity, and you actually get cold and miserable. And then it stimulates your vagus nerve, as our ancestors had done for ages. If you learn to fast, which again, our ancestors had periods where they wouldn't have had food for days and days on end. That actually has a property in it that enhances your life. And what happens is, if you leave the nonsense behind, you turn off the mainstream media, you enter this place of paradise. In scripture, they refer to it as the land of milk and honey, milk being serotonin, honey being DMT. Well, I might have got that the wrong way round, but it literally means that your endocrine glands in your body start producing happy chemicals, and you enter a place that you've never been before. Another example, you got to cut down the alcohol. I know that will disappoint a lot of people, but alcohol is a poison. You're literally just toxifying your system, and you cut off that connection with the divine. And yes, this is where it's brought me, Lembit. This is where it's brought me. And what happens is that life puts stress on you, puts stress on all of us. And when we're stressed, we tend to then start medicating, whether that be like a big bucket of coffee in the morning or you know, sitting on the sofa watching Netflix and gorging on pizza, and that breaks this seal, and then you start to go, your spirituality starts to decline, and then as you get unhappier, you start to self-medicate more, and you go back to old behaviors, and you start to get angry with people and clash, and then you get unhappier, and you go down and down and down and down and down. And my question to anyone when they talk about, I mean, you talked to the wonderful Graham Moore earlier. He's a lovely, lovely man. Graham's a friend of mine, and everything he says is incredibly valid. But when you listen to people in a public arena, whether that's Trump, Biden, whoever's in politics in England at the moment, I don't really, Sunak, isn't it? Is he our prime minister? Someone told me. I don't do all that stuff, so I'm not really that familiar. But like, do they ever talk the way that I'm talking? Do they ever talk in terms of energy, vibration, and frequency? Do they ever say less is more? Well, the answer is no, isn't it? Because they're part of the control mechanism to keep people trapped in what we refer to as the matrix, never knowing their true self.
Well, that thought, this is fascinating and unexpected. I didn't expect to go down this path, but a great path it is, and very important, I think. Stay with us, Chris Thrall. We'll come back to Chris in just a minute. I'll have a look at some of your comments as well during the break. This is the Lembitopic Show. This is today's News Talk TNT. Don't go anywhere. We've got another 15 minutes of what I hope you're finding to be an insightful and fascinating and perhaps an inspiring conversation. See you in a moment.
When I had my heart event close to 4 years ago, I was at the gym, thought I deserve a coffee, and thought I'll top up with fuel, ordered a coffee. But while I was pumping fuel, I started to get chest pains. Then it got worse and worse and worse. So then I was leaning on the counter thinking, yeah, something's not quite right. So then I went to wait for the coffee, and that's when it really, really hit. And Joy just, you know, mouthed, do you need an ambulance? And I remember nodding. I wasn't even thinking about a heart attack. I just thought, something is seriously wrong with me here. So when the cardiologist came to see me, she informed me that I'd had what they call a widowmaker heart attack. Bit of a shock when someone says, you know, you nearly died. Everybody should be aware of all the symptoms of a heart attack that women can have that aren't typical of the shoulder pain, the right arm pain. I go to the gym, I do yoga, Pilates, I swim, I go on bike rides, and yet I still had a heart attack. You just don't know, it could be you.
You are loved. You are valued. You are resilient. You got this.
You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving.
Lembit Opic on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Lembit Opic Show. Only a quarter of an hour left here on today's News Talk, TNT, with me. But of course, we broadcast 24 hours a day, so don't go anywhere. I'm still with Chris Thrall, and we've had an enthralling conversation. We're talking really about really the nature of the cosmos. Now, this is a man who's trained to kill, and now it seems to me that you've evolved to save. And it's quite a big trip. You ran 999 miles across the United Kingdom to raise money for charity. You've traveled 85 countries. You seem to have connected with a deeper purpose, perhaps the antithesis of the thou shalt kill for your country. It now seems thou shalt save for the spiritual purpose of our lives. How does that size of journey feel? Is it overwhelming?
Lembit, I've just smashed life in my own way. I haven't really. You could condense everything I've done in this lifetime, whether it's, you know, flying planes, jumping out of them, traveling 85 countries, exploring Antarctica. You could probably condense all that into about 3 years. And I'm 54. That's just the material stuff, isn't it? I think it's the journey that you come on through those 54 years. And undoubtedly, the highest form of vibration is love. It's love, and it just is. I say this on my channel. I don't want to get you in trouble here, but when you go back to our rave days, the dance era, you know, you didn't pop something in your mouth to go and hate people. No, you did it because it enlightened you to the fact that actually you can love all people, and that you'd be in a dance club and this guy on your left, he's a refuse collector, someone your parents told you, you know, you're above that. And this guy's an accountant, but you're all the same. You know, you're all the same. You're all on this journey to be loved. That's it. And it certainly puts a slant then on conflict, doesn't it? Why would a 18-year-old soldier from this country want to hurt a fellow 18-year-old, whether they be in Ukraine or Russia or Afghanistan? Whereas the truth of the matter is, if you wandered into a bar and that person was sat at the bar, and as I've done many times traveling, and I know people listening will relate to this, you turn to the guy, hiya, I'm Chris. Yeah, I'm from England. Oh, you're from Ukraine. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. And within an hour, you've not just, you know, embarked on a great evening, but you've swapped email addresses and you're going to keep in touch with life. This is people. This is our true nature. The problem is the indoctrination we've had through the media, which is the mouthpiece of the controllers, is very powerful, and it's powerful enough to drop the propaganda in there that two 18-year-olds, rather than be, you know, hugging each other in a pub or a dance club, are suddenly planning on how they can take each other out the game. It's insanity. It's insanity. And we're entering a new world of consciousness now where young people, they don't want this anymore. You know, they don't want this anymore. They had got the internet. They can research what was behind, you know, what I always say, those events in New York and Washington that time, they can find out the truth behind it. They can find out the big club, people like Ihor Kolomoisky, who's behind the Ukraine conflict, find out, you know, Ukraine's third richest oligarch. When they say oligarch, you can substitute that for gangster, can't you? Global mafia. You can find out why we're sending America have just decided completely, I guess, not put to any kind of vote. They're going to send 60 billion more for the further massacre of this poor nation. And where does that money really go? Let's be honest. It goes to the arms companies, who then divvy it up with their big club mates, while laughing at the chronically naive public who, and I don't want to be offensive to the public here, because it's not their fault. They're just not educated as how this scam works. It's called the war scam. Was it Smedley Butler? Was he the American colonel or something? War is a racket. It's a racket.
It was explained to me actually by somebody who said America sends the 60 billion to Ukraine, but it doesn't really. What America does is say, we'll spend $60 billion in the military industrial complex in America and then send the output to Ukraine, which will obviously all get burned up and shot around. And then America gets richer.
that's absolutely
part of the scam.
Yes, absolutely.
Let me read you some of the comments that have come in. Madrid says he's going to watch Jacob's Ladder. Definitely recommend it. It's a brilliant film. Brilliant film. Hermetica says, I think then, but you're referring to The Dark Night of the Soul. That's true. And I'm not sure if you know this, Chris, but apparently Lucas, the progenitor of Star Wars, based Darth Vader on the idea of the Dark Father, the Dark Patriarch in our souls. Not a lot of people know that. The other few comments here, about the phone, Lord Membry says, Melbury says, I can remember mobile phones were as big as bricks and their chargers even bigger. I do remember that as well. Holly says, never been motivated by money. Sometimes you have a lot, sometimes you have nothing. It really doesn't matter. Positive programming is the only way. Sandra Kay says, rather cryptically, The Razor's Edge. And another few film references as well. Motorola 8800, apparently, Mr. Moose suggests, is the big phone. And watch The Samurai and the Fly on YouTube, Lambert, regarding noise, says Mogden. Okay, I'd like to see that. Just one more. If you can fast for 72 hours, says Madrid, every cell in your body renews in that time. And Lord Melbury says, I love Chris's insights. So many more positive comments here. Just looking at what you said earlier on, it's necessary to stimulate the vagus nerve. In my experience, a lot of people I know would rather stimulate the nerve to go to Vegas, which seems the exact opposite of what you're saying. We have become a world where Las Vegas seems to be more stimulating than actually the antithesis of that, not worrying about winning a million, but just having million-dollar thoughts. Do you think that this is because the universe is basically a bad place? Do you think it's a good place, or does it tempt us for a reason?
So the universe is just the universe, isn't it? And the energy within it can't escape. Don't they say something like energy within a system is, it is what it is. You mentioned Star Wars. I mean, that's a great metaphor. So you got young Luke Skywalker, who I guess was like me as a young Marine, thinking he knew it all, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you got the old hand, Obi-Wan Kenobi, who'd be your sort of guru type. And he's saying to the youngster, you haven't got the Force. You've got to develop the Force. You've got to, you know, in reality, it's a metaphor for your true divinity. And it's only when you develop that Force, you overcome the dark side. It's, the cabal, they love to drop these. They love to put it right in front of your face.
It does seem to me that there's a great allegory in Star Wars. The reason it's so good is because it's a classic fight of good and evil. But the good people sometimes become bad and vice versa. It's a little bit like life, really. It's a fascinating and, as I said before, an inspirational message that you're putting forward. Also very simple, though, albeit hard to do. How does a person who has got the BMW and perhaps a second car, who has a nice four-bedroom detached house or a posh apartment in central London or the prospects of a big income, come to terms with the fact that none of that is actually going to deliver happiness. It'll take away discomfort and perhaps worry, but it won't give you happiness. How do you get out of that if you've essentially been bought off by the system?
They need to give it all to me, Lambert. especially the fast car. No, a lot of people are not
going to... Didn't expect that answer, I have to be honest.
A lot of people are not going to realize this. You know, life is our time in this set of molecules, although essentially as divinity and universe, we're infinite. In this experience, this human experience, our time's limited, and not everyone is going to realize it. And that's what we need to accept. But to people out there that are thinking, hang on a sec, this, you know, I've got all of this stuff, I've got all the, you know, the accolades, so it's not working for me, then we need to go within, because the answers are within everything. Our health is within, believe it or not. And once you can grasp that, then the last 3 years just it's just utter nonsense. Just such gameplay. You know, your health is within. One thing I talk about a lot, if I can encourage anyone, understand you're a living being. You have a pH balance. You can actually physically test it with these strips that you can buy for $2.99 on eBay. And if you hit up green when you test your saliva, hey, I got news for you. You're never going to get ill again, ever. And wow. Yet you've got these monsters or these puppets in Parliament that they wouldn't even know what we just talked about, would have no clue. This is personal power. Understand your body. Understand how it works. You know, it comes from within. If you're one of these individuals, and I used to be, that you blame Dave down the pub for your illnesses, I would just suggest life's too short to be that deluded. You know, the answers are within.
Just the Bloke says the greatest pleasures in life have nothing to do with materialism, something that brings me stress and unhappiness, but with experiences. Being able to share experiences with others is especially wonderful. Chris, although it costs me money to do it, perhaps my favorite place in the world is Terminal 5 at Heathrow Airport, because the whole world is available from that building. And the other good thing about it is when you've flown a flight, you don't have a possession. All you've got is a boarding card left, but you've got an experience. It seems to me that perhaps the meaning of life is the journey itself. I would summarize what I've learned from you in this conversation in those few words. How would you summarize in a few words what you've learned in your 55 years?
I'd say, buy the ticket, take the ride. That's it. The good, the bad, the ugly, it doesn't matter. It's not bad to have, you know, material objects. I wouldn't mind a Porsche 911 Turbo. I mean, but it's when it defines you, that's when the problem comes in. I don't know about the whole traveling thing, because now, what with the...
You've done it.
Well, with the global pollution, climate, whatever that is, and I won't pretend that I've spoken to some very clever people on the subject, but, you know, paradise really is sitting in your back garden with the sun on your face.
Chris Thrall, that's a great place to finish. I really appreciate you coming on. Not the conversation I expected, but it's better conversation than I could have dreamed of. I really appreciate your time and look forward to being on your podcast too as well very soon. And with that, we're out of time. Thank you for watching. I hope you've enjoyed the eclectic mix. Thanks to my guests. Thanks to my producer, Charlotte, and thanks to the gallery. I'll see you next week and probably during it too. I'm Len Bitovic. This is TNT. Have a great day.